Oh yeah, welcome back, baby, to a brand new episode of your favorite music podcast. Or maybe your favorite music podcast to hate. I don't know. It's all gas, no trash. My name's Josh. Here today with good buddy Adam.
Yes, hello.
And today we're going to talk about what, Adam? What do you have for us on deck today?
Zamya.
Woohoo!
So we're going to be giving a bit of an update because they had their first performance in the U.S., their U.S. debut at South by Southwest. But there are some other things I wanted to discuss, so maybe we'll get to that first. So at the 1 minute mark, that'll be the intro.
The 1 minute mark. Yep, there it is. All right.
And then from here on out until we get to the next topic, we'll be discussing some interesting things that I found via I think it was like some place I was looking at song credits. So at some point in the last couple weeks, I was looking into Zamya's music because there are people involved in the project besides themselves, so they have additional producers. And one of the ones that I happened to find out about was this guy. His name is Po Leos, and he's from Mexico. And he was a producer with Avex USA, as we've been talking about in the past, where Avex USA is the parent company of another company called X-Galax, which is where they manage, and I think they kind of take care of all things Extraordinary Girls, which is where Irie or Zami or Kamiya rather came from. She was part of Extraordinary Girls.
Yeah.
And then she got the boot and now she's working on her own project. And then it eventually evolved into this, this collaborative project between Zanse, who is also a producer. And that is the composition of, Zamya. But so this guy named Po Leos, who's a producer with Avex USA, who would seemingly know Zanse because he's also part of Avex USA. He was a co-producer on Shooting Star from Extraordinary Girls. And and then there was two other people that were involved. This guy named Taylor Dex, who is credited as working with this guy named John Batiste, kind of a rather popular artist here in the U.S., and this guy named Joji. And that guy used to be a YouTuber. He looked like a penis. Like I forgot his character. I don't know if you've ever seen him before, but his character was called Filthy Frank.
I think I've heard of that.
Yeah. So he like at some point he just decided to become an artist. So
this guy.
Yeah. So that's Joji, yeah. But his character was named fucking Filthy Frank, and he did all this like obscene fucking shit. And for whatever reason, he just decided he was going to become an artist. So it ended up working out for him. So this guy, Taylor Dexter, who has been a songwriter and producer, is also working with Zamya on their latest tracks. And then this is the kind of big one for me. This girl named Julia Shahayed, Juliana Shahayed, who is the sibling of this guy named... So I might be butchering this because it's spelled R-O-G-E-T. And I imagine it's Roger Shahayed, right?
Sounds right.
So this guy is like a hit maker in hip hop music, right? So his first breakthrough, and I remember like this kind of being the next hit from this artist named D-Ram. And he changed his name to formerly known as Shelly. But he made this song called Broccoli.
Okay.
And this guy, Roger Shahayed, is the mind, the brainchild, or rather the person behind the song called Broccoli with Lil Yachty and stuff. But on top of the fact that he's worked in hip hop and written a whole bunch of hit makers for different artists, he has worked with Kendrick Lamar, Dr. Dre, Lil Yachty, Halsey,
goddamn,
Joji, and a bevy of other names. And so these three producers are all working with Zamya. So these are people that have been in the music industry that are more than capable of writing songs. And the Juliana Shahayed person. So on TikTok and Instagram, she does this thing where she kind of has like this like lo-fi aesthetic where she uses like a telephone. It's a microphone that's a telephone, and it has like this phone call quality, right? So it's kind of like shitty, and that's kind of like her gimmick, and she became famous for that or whatever. She was previously a American Idol contestant, but she grew a following through her like social media or whatever. So what does that tell you? What do you make of something like that, where you have three different producers, Juliana Shahayed, who is probably the biggest out of all of them, who has made her fame on Instagram and TikTok, and is now working with Zamia. What do you make of like just the fact that all these people are in the writing room, I suppose, to make the hits of Zamia?
I would say that Zamia is either looked at, who someone's got to be behind them in terms of money, right? There's no way that they're like self-funding this whole thing. There's got to be a bigger someone. There's something.
Well, I mean, as a producer, you get credit, so like you get your due when it comes to making the songs. But to be connected with these people, it's just,
well, no one's doing shit for free.
Yeah,
right. Like, I just don't think that's true. No matter how, oh yeah, I want to work with you guys so much. Well, no, when people say that, it's I want to work with you if the money's right. That's what it means. Mm-hmm. Most of the time, I don't think that these people are just doing this out of the goodness of the heart. They're getting paid, right?
Yeah.
And Zamia as a group, sure. Well, they've both separately been they've been in groups and stuff like that. And I'm sure they've made out pretty well in terms of like, you know, with their monetary or financial aspect of music and their other projects that they were famous for. But I would venture to say that they don't have that kind of money like to put into this. So I feel like there's some bigger picture, somebody behind this financing the deal or putting money behind it, or it's either that or yes, these producers are like, hey, I know this shit's going to go big and I believe in this. So yeah, I'll do it for free now. And then you guys will just pay me on the flip side and then you'll keep working with me. Like that's the incentive, is like, if you're a producer, you're going to work for free. You're not really working for free though. You're just basically going to say, hey, I'm going to do you a solid. And you're buying them your loyalty. So if they do blow up, like they're gonna be loyal to you because you helped them out when no one was there. So I feel like it's either way, it's a big like thumbs up in terms of their
involvement.
Like, well, their likelihood of success. It's showing trending positive now with this for sure.
It feels like they're and I can't say what it is exactly, if there is an external source like putting resources into this project, or if it's just the two people that are involved, Zanse and Kamiya, that are reaching out to these people and saying, hey, we want to make some music, like we would love your creative input to add an extra touch to our songs. It feels like somebody or even the group themselves is like, there's a lot going behind it. Mm-hmm. Like somebody's trying to kick something into fucking gear from the get go. And
yeah, they're trying to like kickstart this before, like get it going with on the right foot, basically.
But this isn't something that's would be known to people unless you look through the song credits. Cause the only way I found this information was through the videos themselves, like the music videos for each song.
Yeah.
That they show the credits
at the end of the video.
Well, no, I mean, like in the description of the video itself, like if you were looking for that, you would be piecing this together. But we're telling you because you're probably not going to do that.
No one is doing that. I guarantee you there's minimal. You might be the only motherfucker doing that. I don't know of anybody else doing that. So,
yeah,
to me, that's a good signal that, oh, OK, they're going to be pushed to the moon because of all this involvement. Because, again, even if they are doing this stuff for free, they're going to want that to be successful. So you're going to use your connections to make sure that this thing goes somewhere.
Yeah.
So I would say the likelihood of them being a smash hit somewhere, I don't know what country, sure, it'd be great for them if it was here, but somewhere they're going to be a smash hit, and that's going to get that. That's where the dollar signs are coming in. So,
yeah. And since we've last talked about them, I think they had, 4.3 4.3K or 4,300 followers, and they've nearly doubled that.
Damn.
They've nearly doubled that. I mean, I think they're at like 7,600.
Yeah, we're literally getting in like on the ground floor with Zamia. Yeah.
And as far as what has happened more recently, so they went out to South by Southwest and they played two showcases. Mm-hmm. And again, it's very strange that, as we talked about previously in the other episode, where you can see on the South by Southwest profile that they're looking for booking, they're looking for a label and all this shit. But then you see like these credits of people that are producers in the music industry within the US. It's like, so like, why do you think they filled out their profile on South by Southwest in that way? If they are in fact telling the truth, or they're trying to sandbag themselves. And
yeah, well, to me, the answer is simple, as we've seen with basically every fucking thing that we've ever talked about.
Or it's to throw people off.
It's all orchestrated. Yeah, it's all. They probably are already signed with somebody, especially because they're two people that have already been in other things.
Yeah,
they have a deal. They're, whether it's public or not is a different story. But I'm sure they've signed with somebody already. And again, if you're, what's their gimmick? Their gimmick is, oh, we're these two rejects from these other projects that got together and made something successful in spite of all this, and we did it on our own, right? That's their gimmick. So, yeah, they're selling the gimmick of like, well, we're independent and we're on our own and we're looking for a label and this and that. I'm sure they've got a deal. I'm sure you don't get into South by Southwest unless for real, like someone is legitimately backing you in terms of that, my opinion.
And they've also released a third music video for that single they came out with called Monster. And I just don't get the idea that something like that. And it does seem like their creative input was kind of the driving force behind the music video. Right.
Yeah.
But there was choreography and the thing looks cool. And I just don't get the impression that this was just done by two people. Like, it wasn't just you and I doing a music video off of an iPhone like, it looks
professional.
Professional, yeah.
It was not some haphazard fucking put together production like you said, like you and I would do.
Yeah.
This was professional grade, which is, if you think about, requires professional grade equipment, which then requires what? Money. And realistically, again, with their sound and everything, renting studio time and doing all this shit, what realistically are they looking at spending here? And again, I don't think that they're pulling this out of their own pocket. I think there's someone pulling the strings or paying the strings from behind the scenes. And whether it's, again, to sell, because again, record companies, they kind of have a bad rap, like record labels and like management companies kind of have a bad rap because they've screwed people for so long in the music industry. So now, you want to push your artist and give them, make sure they have this gimmick of seemingly independent as long as possible, because you're also doing what? You're creating drama. You're creating this like success story. Everybody loves a fucking success story. Everybody loves that rags to riches fairy tale fucking nonsense. When realistically, if you look at it, these two came from other projects. This ain't no rags to riches fucking story, but that's not what they're selling them as. They're selling them as essentially that. It's like these rejects that fucking, now they're doing good stuff or whatever, right? So if you're going to sell that gimmick, you sell the gimmick, and you can't be associated with a record label if you're selling that gimmick. And as we know, they're all in bed with each other anyways, all the record labels and like all the venues and everybody. South by Southwest, I'm sure, is embedded with fucking all these things. So they're like, hey, yo, get our band Zamia on here, but like, we're not advertising that they're with us. So like, just keep that on the low. Yeah, cool. Oh, hey, you know what would be a good touch? Let's put on their profile. They're looking for a label. And then they play South by Southwest, and then whoever this label is can come out and say, we saw their showcase at South by Southwest, and we'd love to meet. And they can make some fake fucking interaction, as we know. That's how it goes down. And so it's storylines. It's wrestling. Like, it's the same shit.
Yeah, so they, as you were saying, they play at South by Southwest and the past couple weeks, and at two showcases, and one person within the audience actually recorded one of the sets, and they played at this. I don't know if it was like a proper venue, but it looked like there was a lot of people. And on their social media, you could see people sharing their own stories, referring to like Instagram stories themselves, of people standing like all the way in the back, and it looks fucking filled. And I'm like, man, how is it possible for a group, unless people are paying attention to the lore and people are invested in Kamiya or Irie, her real name, who was part of Extraordinary Girls. Like, if you were following that lore all the way through, which is very possible, it looked like there was 200 people there or 100 people. Or so it's like, what does that make you think?
I don't know. Because
this is a group that has three singles.
Yeah.
You have one person that was involved with a K-pop, Japanese K-pop group that was booted, hadn't even been part of the group long enough to even get to the first single. So she's not like exactly famous, but like, do people follow lore long enough to that?
I don't think
that
so.
They would care.
Yeah, I don't think so.
So it's like, then how do you have 200 people like, or 100 people show up?
Because it's the machine behind them. It's some sort of aspect of the machine that's pushing that. That's my opinion. Especially because of like where, like you said, like where they came from, like that. They're just some unknowns that just. They've been in the business. They've been connected. The machine's behind them. Like, that's just the bottom line.
On the first go, man.
And it doesn't negate the fact that it's good.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to be clear about that. I'm not saying that the machine being behind you is a negative thing. I'm just saying that, okay, listen, we've experienced in the past how when the machine gets behind somebody and if they want to sell you a story, they're going to sell you a story. And so it's like, yeah, how the fuck does 200 people show up? Who in America is following the lore of a Japanese K-pop or J-pop? It's, I think it's J-pop, right? The Japanese version? Like J-pop.
Well, I mean, it's a K-pop. They do K-pop music, but it's all Japanese, Japan. All Japanese members.
Oh, okay. So whatever.
And they all live, I think, or they're all based in South Korea.
Okay. So this K-pop band, former, what you could essentially call a former Spice Girl.
Yeah.
From like the beginning times, right? Got booted before they got real super huge.
Before they even had a real single,
right? So before they were even huge, there's no one that's following that person all the way here to play at South by Southwest, let alone 200 fucking people.
All right, I got to add something onto what you're talking about because I was curious. I'm like, I got to have something to compare it to, and I know it's not exactly one to one, but at least it's somewhat comparable, right?
Yeah. Okay.
So we've been talking about Kainalu in the past about how you went on tour with Joe, right?
Right.
So I go on Triple J. I think it was Triple J that had a video of them performing some cover, right? And I was like, what are the odds that somebody would know about Kainalu? And from that time, there was like 500 comments, right? So I was like, is anybody going to fucking know about Kainalu? I went through, I think probably like 300 or 400 of the comments. And I found one person that said anything about Kainalu.
Okay.
So when you're comparing that to Kamiya.
Because the machine's not behind Kainalu. The machine is behind Zamiya. The machine's behind Joe. But remember, it's Joe featuring Kainalu. It's not Joe and Kainalu. Joe X Kainalu or whatever.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And that's why because Kainalu's not a solo act in this or even a part of it. This is like, oh, he's just a featured member or a
live member.
Yeah. Like that's all he is. So,
but I'm saying that the interest of in somebody.
Yeah, there's one person out there.
There's one person amongst 500 people that commented or viewed this thing that could even put together that this guy is part of the live band, not part of the recording band or whatever it might be, but. But when it comes to Zamiya and specifically Irie or Kamiya, I know that's confusing as fuck, but she already has an audience for herself at South by Southwest, which is interesting.
Yeah.
But anyway, so if you want to check them out, if you want to know what they sound like, what their discography is kind of like, cause they played a lot of songs that were not that haven't been released. So if you wanted to know what the full scope of their music is like, type in Zamiya at South by Southwest. There's one person that has a video up. It's in there. It's the entire set. I think they somewhat undersell, like, I don't even think they undersell it, because they do point out the fact that they are kind of an eclectic group that plays a lot of genres, and this definitely showcases that they play a lot of different music. So, I mean, if you're interested, if you're already kind of familiar with the lore, which we talked about in previous episodes, go ahead and check it out. I don't remember the person's YouTube channel, but like I said, if you type in Zombie and South by Southwest, there should only be one other video. And what is kind of fucking nice is there was like a residual effect because of that fact that one person had posted a live video of the band. Like, we started to get some of that too, because only one other video of us talking about Zamiya besides us.
Wait. Yeah. Well, and now people are starting to look up Zamiya, and no one else really knows about them. I mean, now there's more people getting on the bandwagon, it seems like, but there's not a lot of fuckers talking about them. And now that buzz is starting to develop, and yeah, that's, we're going to see a residual effect of that, because people are going to be like, Zamiya, what the fuck is this? And then hopefully they'll be like, oh, who the fuck are these assholes? All gas, no trash. Let me see what they have to say. And then they'll think we're fucking stupid or funny or whatever. And then whatever, maybe they'll listen. But who cares? At least we're pulling people in with this.
Yeah. So. I have a few more things to add.
Yeah, all right.
So they were posting pretty frequently throughout South by Southwest. Like, the person that's behind their visuals, this guy named Sleep Tight, like, they were doing, they were doing photo ops within their hotel room. Like, it was real interesting. And as far as like the live performance goes, I think for anybody that enjoys like K-pop, obviously, amongst the other things that they do, it's definitely worth checking out. I don't understand. So they obviously have a backing track, right? So that's basically playing the music in the background, and then the other person, the Kamiya, sings over it, and Zansei has like a guitar, but you can't fucking hear the guitar, dude. Like, I don't know what part he plays in the band. I know he's the producer, but when it comes to the live band, like, it doesn't sound like his guitar is coming out on the speakers. Damn. Like, he's just standing there. But
what if it's not even connected?
Yeah. I'm not trying to throw the dude under the bus or anything like that. Maybe it was just the fact that this person was standing directly in front of the stage that I couldn't hear the guitar, but like, I couldn't fucking hear the guitar. So I don't know what that's about. But anyways, please check out Zamiya. We're not throwing them under the bus. We're just talking about like what we're piecing together as far as a band that is just kind of unraveling in the early part of their journey, and certainly picking up steam on social media. They've started to garner a lot of follows, but I don't know. We'll continue to talk about it as we work our way through the year. I'm sure there's going to be plenty of updates, maybe an album or in like an EP that comes out that we'll probably review. So I don't know. We're just trying to stay on top of this shit so that we don't get left behind and we get to benefit from it as well.
Yeah, pretty much. So. Anyways, yeah, I mean, that. Stay tuned, because we're going to be continuing to talk about them as they release shit. So, and as Adam goes on to CIA level background checks into these people and finds out more.
Yeah.
So anyways, is that it?
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
All right, cool. Well, that'll be the end of the episode. So thanks for listening. And well, if you didn't like it, go fuck yourself. We really don't care. Call someone who cares. Not us.